Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. On Monday, 22nd of July, Pope Francis will touch down in the second largest city of Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, where he'll be staying till July 28th. Travelling with the Pope throughout this journey is the head of our English programme here at Vatican Radio, Sean Patrick Lovett. I spoke to him prior to his departure for Brazil. So, Sean, you're off again to another World Youth Day with a different pope this time. Which pope is this? Your third, I think.
This is my fifth pope. I started here with Paul VI. So Paul VI, John Paul I, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, Francis. There you go, five.
But World Youth Day, only three of these popes.
Because they were begun by John Paul II. Exactly. And I was at the first World Youth Day, which isn't, if you like connections, was in Buenos Aires. And it was 1987, 26 years ago. We were all much more beautiful and younger.
Well, we do like connections. And it's strange how Benedict XVI went on his first journey abroad. He attended World Youth Day in his own country, Germany. And this Pope is attending World Youth Day as his first journey abroad in Latin America, not in Buenos Aires, but in Brazil.
And another connection to add to that connection is the fact that Benedict XVI inherited the Cologne World Youth Day from John Paul II. It had been organized by John Paul II, and Benedict XVI went, and Francis is inheriting the Rio World Youth Day, which was organized for Benedict XVI.
These World Youth Days are very similar. The events are very similar, aren't they?
There's almost a format now, isn't there? If you think of the Pope hearing confessions, the Pope participating at the Way of the Cross, the vigil with the young people, the dialogue with the young people and the Mass. Yes, it does sort of have a format by now. The lunch with the young people, they're these fixed events that are part of the World Youth Day scheme.
The lunch with the young people you talked about is quite interesting because the young people are going to be from all five continents.
All five continents, and then a couple of young people specifically from Brazil because it's the host country. And the exciting thing, of course, is that it's a private meeting. There are no cameras, there are no microphones allowed. It's a privileged conversation between the Pope and these young people around a lunch table.
Has Pope Francis added anything to the schedule?
He himself requested the visit to Our Lady of Aparecida. He made it clear from the beginning that he wanted to visit Our Lady, and he wanted to do so the same way as he visited the shrine of Our Lady here in Rome at Santa Maria Maggiore the day after his election.
Which was a private visit.
I think his idea was that he could make a private visit to Aparecida as well. But of course, that's impossible. There are going to be about 20,000 people inside the cathedral when he's saying Mass and at least 100,000 outside when he steps outside to greet them.
In your opinion, what are going to be some of the highlights of this visit of Pope Francis to Brazil?
The official highlights, of course, are they're three. It's the Way of the Cross, which will be very spectacular. It'll be along the
beach. All of them in Rio, no?
All of them in Rio. Everything is totally concentrated on Rio. Rio is already a complicated enough city to have to move around in, so they're all concentrated there in the greater metropolitan area. So you have the Way of the Cross on the beach of Copacabana and the vigil with the young people and then, of course, the Mass as well, that closes the World Youth Day and announces the next one. Those are the three official major events, shall we say. But, since you asked the question, personally I think more interesting are the smaller events that will be taking place. The fact that Pope Francis, another thing he specifically asked for was to visit the favela, the slum. And not only will he be visiting the slum, but he'll be spending time in someone's house, drinking probably a mate with them in their house.
But these people don't know.
They don't know because they themselves are being protected from the media. If the media knew, you can imagine. And you like connections just as much as I do. So allow me to remind listeners and readers that when John Paul II visited Latin America in 1980, he too asked to visit a slum, and it was the slum of Vidigal, and he took off his gold ring and gave it to the people in the slum, and it's kept in a museum there to this day. So there again, there's these connections.
Which is perhaps not what he wanted, but anyway.
I don't think probably not, but there you go. You can understand a human. They would want to keep that as something very special. And then the fact that he's visiting the hospital of St. Francis, and there's a lovely connection there. And he's meeting with, again, young people are the key to everything. So he's meeting young people who are involved in drug rehabilitation programs or alcohol abuse rehabilitation programs. And the fact that he's meeting prisoners, he can't go to them, so they're bringing the prisoners to him. The fact that he's going to be hearing confessions, it seems to me these more personal moments, more private, more personal moments, are to me personally what add interest and color to this event.
And of course, Pope Francis loves crowds, and crowds love him. But he's not going to travel around in a Pope Mobile, is that correct?
And that, yes, you know, we say so quite glibly. I was speaking to someone just today, and they were saying, as people often say when they know that we work here at Vatican Radio, how wonderful Pope Francis is, and he's so much fun. And I say, yes, looking at him from the outside in, I suppose that he does seem like a lot of fun. But living with him and working with him from the inside out isn't exactly fun. I mean, the people who are dealing with the security there, it's not funny at all. Of course, one respects his desire to be able to be in contact with people, but he himself, as you know, has asked to use the same open Jeep that he uses in St. Peter's Square because he needs to be in contact with people, and it's a very beautiful thing, but I'm also very glad that I'm not responsible for security.
It's kind of worrying, isn't it? He has this very personal style, and he's added some new touches to the journey itself, hasn't he?
The most striking of which is the fact that he wants to meet the foreign press corps one by one. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised,
because
that's very much his style. You mentioned John Paul II. John Paul II invented the so-called impromptu press conferences in flight. And of course, after 26 years, he knew everybody by name. And so it was, oh, hi, Veronica. And, you know, so how's Vatican Radio doing and whatever? And it was all very, very intimate and very improvised. Benedict XVI wanted to continue that, but it was more structured. Father Lombardi would take the questions and then refer them to Pope Benedict, and he would respond. Pope Francis has his own style again, and wants to walk down the aisle and shake hands and meet with each of the journalists accredited to the papal flight. And that'll be new again. We'll see what happens. And since you ask, there is one more point, since I don't know what people have been reading in other countries, but here in Italy there's been a lot of coverage given to the papal bed in the flight that's going to take him to Rio. Apparently there never was a papal bed. This I have from the organizer of the papal visits himself, Alberto Gaspari, our colleague. It never was a question of a bed. The seats in the plane that take the Pope are just like beds anyway, so the Pope didn't have to either ask for or deny having one. The beds that are already available are good enough, suitable enough for his needs.
Where will he be staying? Because there's no nunciature in Rio, because it's not capital. I mean, Brasilia is the capital.
Indeed, the nunciature is in Brasilia. He'll be staying in a religious house on one of the hills overlooking Rio. It's very, very beautiful. Apparently it has a gorgeous garden around it. So it's a sort of retreat. That's where he'll be staying on Tuesday, his day off, the day that's been fitted into the schedule to give him a moment to relax and catch his breath.
Of course, we have no doubt that he'll charm the young people. But more broadly, this will be an insight for us into the pontificate itself, into the Francis style, won't it?
It's something new, but it's something new for us. It's something new for him as well. Apparently, it's the biggest secret around right now, so don't tell anybody. But this is his first youth day, but not just as Pope, but as Bergoglio. He's never been to a youth day ever. So it's going to be a brand new experience for him as much as it is for us.
So, well, have a nice journey. Have a good time out there covering for this unexpected pontificate with the Pope of Surprises.
Well,
it's going to be tough, Sean.
It's going to be challenging, shall we say, but let's hope that we're up to the challenge.
Thank you very much. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.